This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Pauly Howard, we are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino here on a Tuesday. Big 3-hour program lined up for you as always. On the program today, David Baker, professional poker player, former Westgate Super Contest winner, super high on the Broncos and Bo Nix this year and the Seahawks. We got to get his thoughts on what he thinks now with no Nix for the rest of the year. Chad Andrus also covers the team. He'll join us talking about AFC title game a little bit later on. Derek Stevens, early money, title game Sunday, how the bettors did last night on the national title game. Big news in the NBA today. Busy card tonight in college basketball. We'll hit it all. And we'll go over college football, Pauly, and what took place last night in the national title game, and looking forward next year to early odds to win it all a season from now. That started off as a snooze fest and a bad football game for the first half. But, you know, we were on the air yesterday making the case, and bettors, you know, took that down to 7, 7.5, and they were right, grabbing Miami before the game. Thought it could be a close game, and the second half turned out to be a doozy. So congrats on everybody who was on Miami for the game, but also more importantly, like Indiana future tickets. Awesome job if anybody had like 100, 75, 60, whatever that number was. And if you were able to get creative on the other side when you had Miami tickets to do something with Indiana last night and maybe parlay them with something else.
Yeah, good result for the books that it falls 6, because you'd think you'll lay it with Indiana and take Miami money line. How they bet it also like they usually do with Super Bowls. I thought they were going to blow them out, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout until the Fletcher touchdown is... You know, what happened in the first half and the what could have been from Miami, the mistakes, the interception, the face mask, the jumping off sides on 3rd and 14, the slow start. And, you know, maybe that was 3 or 6-0 at halftime, but it took them so long to get going. And then the offense couldn't be stopped as they finally saw some creativity. But you got to be sound in all three phases. And the block punt and the missed field goal did them in a hell of a game. Incredible story. Let's get going immediately on the movie. But certainly Miami had a great chance to win that game, and it reminded me of the finish with the Bears. I mean, you don't have to make that pass there. You have plenty of time, and we have miscommunication, much like Moore and Williams, that you shouldn't have miscommunication this late in the season as the wide receiver wasn't even looking for the ball, and the sharp angle, too, with the Miami angle, as they didn't offer him anything, and Allen in Indiana did, and he winds up in Indiana and has the interception.
Right. So, Miami had so many, like, forced errors, or unforced errors, I should say, last night in the game. Just, and that's, you know, as it's unfolding, you're like, there you go. This is what's going to happen with a Mario Cristobal coach team. And on the other side, they were buttoned up until they weren't. And I'll expand on that coming up in a little bit. But that face mask is just, that can't happen. The offsides, brutal. Also, I would say the decision to try to kick the field goal. Just, come on, man, go for it right there.
Yeah, Indiana's good.
You're right. Use Fletcher. And by the way, there was a drive early on. I hated the play calling for Miami as well. After they held them to a field goal to make it 3-0, they come out and go pass, pass, sack. Never tried to get Fletcher going yet again. Had to punt it right back. Like early on. Come on, man. You knew Fletcher was going to be the biggest part of the game plan to maybe keep you in this thing. And you're ignoring him until, you know, that 57-yarder that he popped. And in the second half, he was outstanding as well. But I would also say this about Cignetti. Now, he's going to get praised up and down and has been for the last almost 24 hours. And certainly, like, he reached instant legendary status last night. He was far from perfect. And I thought actually kicking the field goal up to go up 27-21, huge mistake. Why do you call a timeout to run Mendoza on 4th down and 5 there and he scores the touchdown, but then you don't go forward again to put Miami out of their misery late and you settle for the field goal? Way too much time left, like 90 seconds. It's a 6-point game. They score a touchdown, kick the extra point. You lose. So he played to win and was so aggressive the entire year until it mattered the most in the final 2 minutes of the game. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Well, they felt they were going to pick it up no problem, though, because of what Miami showed on tape and what Miami showed prior to the timeout. They felt they were so confident they were going to pick it up, which is still a gutsy call. And as he said after the game, he had to knock over a linebacker to do that. But it may be a different ball game, 4th and 6, as the penalty was key on that drive, too. But it worked out for him. And it was a lot of guts to go for it, not once, but twice. And one guy was aggressive and it paid off, and the other guy was conservative and he got beat. And I didn't think the kid was going to make the field goal from that distance as he struggled down the stretch. And it's still a tough kick to make, and you still had plenty of time as the clock was winding down before halftime. But the big mistake is the block punt with the rugby nonsense. He walked right into the block.
Yeah.
I mean, if he punts it regular, it's no problem. Mm-hmm. But he goes right into the guy and blocks it, and it was a piece of cake moving off to his right, which that also loomed large. So it could have been a Miami win, but too many mistakes and a great game, though, and a great finish. But that's tough if you're Miami. And like Beck said, it's going to haunt him for a long time.
So when you look at the juxtaposition here of the two coaches and how they approached the game last night, again, Cristobal electing to go for that long field goal before the half. No good. Instead of going for it on fourth and short. Cignetti, super aggressive on that drive that led to the Mendoza touchdown, going for it twice on fourth down. So it was a fourth and five at the Miami 37, and they picked up a 19-yard pass. Then it was a fourth and four on that touchdown run. Yeah. I think Cristobal punts on fourth and five at the 37, and he kicks the field goal at fourth and four at the Miami 12.
Yep. The other thing that was ridiculous, and they pointed it out several times, what was with the cushion in the first half? Just because you don't have Lucas?
Yeah.
They made it so easy. This guy could be the number one pick in the draft. You can't just get a 10-yard cushion and he's playing catch out there. That was silly what they were doing. And Herbstreit was stunned with what they were giving the Indiana wide receivers. It was ridiculous. I can't do that.
I thought Becker was phenomenal last night in the game.
There was a lot of talent on the field.
Yeah.
So much talent that I watched. My takeaway is the Raiders should trade down and take Bain. He's such a beast.
Miami on the edge.
Oh, my God. Cignetti's right. They couldn't protect him. And they did an incredible job getting after him. There was some questionable calls. I know a lot of people thought that we should have been an ejection and a targeting, but that was a great job by Bain and the group, so much so that if I'm the Raiders and I need so much, if someone would make me a Godfather offer, I'll just take Bain and move down.
I'd be fine with that. And by the way, again, get ready for this, because I've heard it already, like, trying to pay attention to the draft. So many people are going to say, well, he's got too short of arms. Just it's nonsense that you're going to hear. Guy is absolutely a total stud. I would also say this in terms of a betting thing, because Cignetti is available to bet on in some of these prediction markets, like will he become the next head coach of a certain NFL job? He's locked in at 2033. He's making $11.5 million a year.
He said, I'm not an NFL guy.
Yeah, he seems like he's not an NFL guy. I would not be betting him in prediction markets right now.
You said it yesterday. Where have you been? This is unfortunate. An all-time coach, a phenomenal coaching job, but he's 64 years old. He started at Davidson in 1985. He was several stops, quarterback, wide receiver coach, 3 years at Bama. He didn't become a head coach until IUP, which he mentioned yesterday with Reese Davis after the game in 2011. Then he went to Elon and then James Madison, then Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what could have been? Yep. 64 years old. This star has just been sitting there the whole time.
A star is finally born.
Yeah, no one gave him the opportunity. No. Davidson, Rice, Temple, Pittsburgh, NC State. Didn't become a head coach till 2011. And Google me, I win.
Yeah, can you imagine what the narrative would be around him right now if he was 40 years old?
Oh, I can't, yeah.
They would run the sport for the next 20 years.
He'd probably go to the NFL.
Yeah, maybe.
Last nine-win season before Cignetti, 1967. Prior to this season, they had won 3 bowl games. Ever.
Ever.
They now won 3 in 18 days.
I wonder here, would Hoosiers fans trade what happened in the last 2 years with him for another national title in college basketball? Curious how they would answer that question.
I don't think you can top this. This is
so unbelievable that you really can't.
Yeah, and 16-0, which hasn't happened since that Yale team, loved in the 1890s. Yeah, right.
Sure. Also, don't forget this, by the way. It's 3 in a row for the Big Ten.
That's right. They
three
run the sport.
Three different Big Ten teams, by the way.
Yep. You tell the SEC what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You run this sport. 3 different teams did it again. SEC couldn't even make the game again. So phenomenal job.
Look at the photo here, and some of this stuff was taken off last night during the game.
Yeah.
But here, and this is all over social media too for the radio audience. The photo of the first game of the attendance for Indiana's football game last year, Cignetti as the head coach. I mean, you could do a head count here. Not seriously, but there was how many empty seats are we talking about here?
Yeah.
That's 50% full, maybe?
Everyone was tailgating, they said.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm not going to kill you for that. There's
no
problem.
I said that yesterday.
No, you're exactly right. I saw this was all over social media before the game. I referenced it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
They had the most losses in the history of the sport. You're not going to be fired up for Florida International, whoever was coming to town, to start with Cignetti's first game.
Yep. And let's take you back to the opening press conference again. He takes the job. Here's a back and forth with a reporter that went viral and why so many people liked him.
When it comes to that culture, you were just talking about meshing the recruits you're getting and some of the guys you kept. Where does that process start? I mean,
what do you mean? I don't get the question.
Well, when you recruit them, how do you sell your vision of your culture? I mean, what's the...
Who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you...
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
Did you look at the responses underneath that?
I did not.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked, and yeah, you're talking a big game now, pal, and all that. It goes back. Oh, it's so good now. You got to look at the responses.
I think that's like a fair question, though. Like, it's Indiana. They've never won anything.
Yeah, the mixer. Right, sure.
Right.
Yeah, because I said that after they boat raced Oregon, because that's when they showed the five-star difference in players.
Yeah.
I go, what's going to happen when this guy gets the best of the best? Maybe he doesn't want him. Maybe, but that's going to be that's the scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if he can just pick all these guys that he wants now? And that's why they got the big news on Hoover too.
Yeah, and also Mark Cuban's going to be funding the program as much as they want.
Yeah,
to make it stay like this. Indiana national champs. My God, win lose up next, and I'll give you a team in action tonight that is winless over seven tries in this situation. Coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We'll get into Championship Sunday in the NFL here. We head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Professional poker player, former Westgate Super Contest champion, David Baker joins us here on a Tuesday. David, pleasure talking to you. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, I always love talking with you guys. Always interesting, picking y'all's brains, coming from different environment than I am. In football, and let's cut it up.
Okay, so we got to begin with the AFC title game, and I said this before the commercial break. Like some of us here at the network, I had a Broncos win total over. Matt Eumanns was super high on the team to win the division, make the playoffs, etc. But none of us were as high on the Broncos as you were this year, in particular with Bo Nix, the quarterback. You thought that he was absolutely going to pop and shine this year, and I thought he looked really good against the Bills. Okay, then that news comes out, and it's just like, whoa, what? Are you serious? So what do you think of the drop-off now with this team going from Bo at quarterback to Jared Stidham?
Yeah, I appreciate starting out with Bo because, I've spent the last 2 days consuming content, nothing but content, as the number one Bo Nix supporter and fan that I've seen is – I don't really feel like he got his due respect after this football game against the Bills. Everything is how, well, they would have lost if Josh Allen didn't make turnovers. Well, part of being a great quarterback is holding on to the football and making smart decisions, not taking sacks, not being careless with the ball. And Bo did that way better than Josh did. The throw that he made to Marvin Mims with 55 seconds left, if that play happens, 20 seconds later or something, and the Broncos just win the football game, and this is an all-time clutch moment. The throw he made to Lil Jordan Humphreys for the touchdown at the end of the first half, spectacular. So I think Bo deserves his respect deserves the respect before we move on to the AFC championship game. So I just want to, you know, he played the best of any quarterback this postseason so far. So onto the drop off. I mean, as you can see in my background, it's all Auburn stuff here. So I'm a big Auburn fan. That's what started my love for Bo and Jared Stidham, ex Auburn Tiger. So I've watched a lot of Jared Stidham football and kind of been a fan of his as well, as I am most Auburn players. And look, he's Sean Payton's hand-selected guy. Jared has had opportunities to go elsewhere, and he's stayed with Payton. Obviously, Payton sees things in him. There will be a drop-off. I mean, I think Bo's elite. If he's not elite, he's at least very, very, very good at this point in his career, and he runs the system great. But I do trust Stidham to have been working under Bo and with Sean for the last couple years, that he will be able to give them a chance to win. The offensive line is still great. The defensive line will still be able to create chaos and hopefully get them the ball back in positive field position. So I'm not writing off this Broncos team yet. There is definitely a drop-off, but I think Stidham can do enough with what he has to make this a game that the Broncos have a chance to win. And I trust Payton.
You do? Okay. And you might have Dobbins back as well. But what's your level of concern with the defense, though? After they had the bad game against Jacksonville, and they gave up so many points and yards to Buffalo, and a lot of times receivers were wide open.
Yeah, it's funny, this defense, because, you know, as, you know, somebody who's been heavily invested in the Broncos, I consume a ton of Broncos content, and obviously I watch every game and I watch it super close, and everybody's like, this defense is great, this defense is great. And then I continue to see them put up games like this, but I don't think that necessarily takes away from their greatness. They have great playmakers, but sometimes the game does get away from them. I mean, last year they had a great defense, and we saw that wonderful Cincinnati game near the end of the year where Burrow and Nix were just going back and forth. And then there have been a couple times this year where the defense has done that. That doesn't necessarily negate the fact that they have a defensive line that creates havoc. And sometimes when you have a defensive line that creates havoc and you get 68 sacks and you lead the NFL in sacks, sometimes that does lead to some big plays happening. And that's just kind of a part of it. I mean, if you're going to play style of football, whether it's offensively or defensively, where you take chances, I mean, you look at Josh Allen. Yes, Josh Allen makes the most ridiculous plays, but he also puts the ball in harm's way. Well, you could kind of say the same thing on the defensive front. I mean, the Broncos go for big plays. And, you know, a lot of the points scored have been products of, you know, almost getting there to the quarterback, Riley Moss committing PIs, just some big plays. So I don't necessarily think that it's an indictment on the defense. It's just kind of the style that they play. You see the same thing with the Brian Flores defense. You can find games where they look really bad and they put up a lot of numbers. But, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. And I love Nick Bonito. He's been my favorite defensive player for, you know, a good year and a half since I really discovered the Broncos and got on this Broncos train. And I kind of love the parts that are there for the Broncos. And you know they're going to be playing inspired ball. The stadium's going to be insane. And we saw that this Patriots offensive line is gettable. I mean, obviously the Texans are elite, but they got to them a lot. But the Chargers, I wouldn't say the Chargers defense is any better than the Broncos, and they got to May a lot too. So I think this is a spot where the Broncos can win.
David Baker, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line, professional poker player. Also, his podcast is called Gamble Up. So overall, the look ahead number was Denver -1.5. Then the Knicks injury happens. Some books opened up 6. Other books like Circa now sitting at 4.5. FanDuel, DraftKings at 5.5. It seems like a pretty big adjustment, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the look ahead was 1.5, but I'll be honest, I think that thing would have quickly gone to 2.5. I mean, you saw, so I think the books, from what I've been able to tell, the books kind of don't really think that people trust Denver, but when the money comes in, it always goes to Denver. I mean, we saw the same thing with Buffalo. They opened Buffalo as a favorite, and by kickoff, the Broncos were a good solid 1.5 point favorites. I think that the market thinks that the Bills are better than the Patriots. I mean, we saw that just a few weeks ago, and not much has changed. The Bills were favored in New England like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that if the Patriots are lined to be a worse team than the Bills, then this game had to get out to 2.5, especially the Broncos were really good. And I think the Patriots did show some holes. So I think this game would have gone off at 2.5 to 3. So it is significant movement, but at the same time, I understand the reason being that, you know, Bo did end some of the doubters. So if you can't say on one side that, hey, Bo was elite and ended some of the doubters, and then at the same time, not dock him for not being in this football game.
Overall, what do you think of the Patriots?
I mean, I think the Patriots are a good team. But I also think that they have obviously, I mean, this isn't news, but they've obviously been a victim, not a victim, but a recipient of a very favorable schedule. And being at home, we don't know. Like, the jury is out on Drake May in a hostile environment versus a great defensive line. I mean, he did not look good against the Texans' defensive line. I mean, he did have some great passes, and that will be there for the Broncos too, because if the rush doesn't get home, we're going to have guys one-on-one. So he's going to be – it's going to be possible that he might be able to make some of those throws, but on the road and at home, AFC championship game, it's a whole different animal. So I think the Patriots are good, but I think this is a little too much respect for the Patriots and a little disrespectful to Sean Payton. And yeah, there have been some late game things that I haven't agreed with Payton. There have been a couple of game management things, but you cannot diminish his game planning ability. He is able to game plan, and he knows Stidham better than anybody in the world. So I trust him to be able to put him in the right position to succeed. I don't know what the game plan is going to be, but I trust Sean to, make it a good one.
Okay. Very good. You cool to hang out for another 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, for sure.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, David Baker. You can follow him on X. He's at @AUDavidB. Went to Auburn, like he said.
Good points. Also, the takeaway, I had the same thing, the praise that Payton had immediately for him.
Right away.
And Stidham's the guy. He's going to be ready. Fine. He's ready for this moment. I know.
We talked about this yesterday. His first start, I believe, Raiders against a really good Niners defense, lit him up 3 or 4 years ago out here in Las Vegas, had more than 300 yards, I think 3 touchdowns in that game. So he looked really good in that spot. We'll continue here talking NFL. A bunch to get into still with David. He has futures on the Rams as well to win the NFC. What does he make of the matchup against the Seahawks this weekend? And a lot of poker players were involved in the 5 winning entries in Circus Survivor. What's the reason, and will it be a theme consistently moving forward as we continue here on VSiN? We'll hit the AFC title game here. Broncos now home dogs. 4.5 is the number. New England favorite at Circa, Westgate, some other books. DK and FanDuel right now at 5.5 on the game. And we go out to the Progressive guest line. Chad Andrus joins the program now. He covers the Denver Broncos for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Hey, Chad, good afternoon. Thanks for the time, pal. How are you?
I'm well, gentlemen. Very well. Looking forward to this week. It should be an interesting one.
What was your overall reaction? Because you knew the look-ahead line, right? It was Denver -1.5 with a healthy Bo Nix against New England. And then you saw it pop 6 after the Patriots beat Houston on Sunday. Did you think that was too much?
Yeah, Yeah, I do think it's too much. I think that's a little bit disrespectful to Sean Payton and probably the home field advantage that they enjoy here. And I think it was made note of in the room. I'll just say that. Sean Payton will use anything he can to make it feel like you're sliding him or it's him against the world. And I promise he took notice of that. I think it has the makings of what is going to be another close game because that's who the Denver Broncos are. They play to their level of their competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a 12-2 record in one score games as well. Were you surprised right away the confidence he expressed in Stidham? And do you think that's genuine and will show up on Sunday that Stidham will have a good performance?
I do think it's mostly genuine. I do think it's also part of sending a message to his team and his quarterback right away that I'm going to get out in front of this and we're going to move forward business as usual. So I think it's part both. But Jarrett Stidham is a guy that he likes. And Jarrett Stidham is a guy, and look, I know we don't put any stock in preseason, but he was incredible in preseason. And when we watched training camp this year, everybody would kind of scratch their head and look around and go, this offense, man, like, what is this offense? The only time the offense looked like it was credible or a reasonable, you know, competitive offense in the NFL all year was when Jarrett Stidham was running it, not when Bo Nix was running it. And again, that's training camp. That's preseason. It doesn't mean a whole lot going into the AFC Championship game. But he's been around here long enough, and he's been around here to know that the mistakes that Russell Wilson made that drove Sean Payton crazy and the reason why Bo Nix is playing make a huge difference in this offense. And I think he knows that Sean Payton, first and foremost, wants a guy who is going to protect the football. And that's going to be priority number one.
Okay, and who's he going to be throwing to? What does the wide receiver room look like?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about an MVP of the Bills game? How about the doctor in the blue tent that cleared Marvin Mims of the concussion protocol after the opening kickoff? He went in the tent after returning the opening kick. If he's out and then Bryant goes out and Franklin goes out, what do you got left? You'd be playing with two wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Franklin is likely at all because it's a hamstring. That seems like a stretch. I think they're hopeful that Pat Bryant can play. This will be an interesting one to me because he's had two concussions in the last three games he's played. That doesn't seem like a guy that would be out there the week after the second one. But they seem to be hopeful that he can get through the protocol and play, which would be a big difference for them because if he's not, I think they're going to have to activate like Elijah Moore or somebody off of the practice squad to be a fourth receiver.
Okay. Wow. Watch out for props then, obviously. What about the running back room? Do you think Dobbins is actually going to be activated?
So before the week 18 game against the Chargers, Dobbins was walking into the tunnel and a fan said, JK, you going to be ready for the Super Bowl? And he turned and he looked up at him and he said, sooner. Well, there's only one game left for sooner. So Dobbins has been thinking he was going to be back the whole time. Here's the issue, guys. He went out in week 10 against the Raiders. By the way, before that, he was averaging 5.2 yards per carry in his career, which at the time was the best since he entered the league. That's how good of a running back he's been. It wasn't Saquon or McCaffrey or, you know, anybody else, Jonathan Taylor. It was him. He thinks he's going to be back, but that's been 3 months. This is normally a 6 to 8 month injury. Brandon Stokely on our radio station said of the four major injuries he had in his career, that was by far the worst one and took the longest to recover. Mm. So I think Dobbins wants to play. The challenge is if he's activated, who do they inactivate? Because Tyler Bidet is their best pass protector and you got a backup quarterback playing. You know, RJ Harvey is playing and Jaleel McLaughlin, guys, Sean Payton hates running the ball. He refuses to use him for his last four games. 7.4 yards per carry against Jacksonville, 5.7 against Kansas City, 6.8 against the Chargers, 5.3 against the Bills. Are you going to take him out when you might need to run the ball to put in a guy whose foot might not be healthy?
All right. Fair enough. Great. Mm-hmm. I think that's the battle of the game, right? Because Denver's offensive line has been so good the entire year, but we see this with New England's defensive front. When they have Milton Williams and everybody healthy, good luck running on them.
Yeah, and for Denver, it's not that they can't run the ball, especially if Dobbins is playing. Look, the left side of their offensive line are both all pros and minors and bowls. It's that Sean Payton won't do it.
Yeah,
he's too impatient. He doesn't like it. And if you go back the last couple weeks of the season when they were playing Oladokun and they were playing Trey Lance, because of the way the games were going. He actually had a quote when he was questioned about the play calling and not being able to score and blow those teams out. He said, in some situations, you become more run tolerant. He used the word tolerant. He tolerates running the football. He doesn't want to play that way, but he tolerates it because sometimes you have to do it.
Great points. Great quote as well. I couldn't believe that they didn't have a running back. A second carry for a running back occurred 3 minutes into the second quarter against a team that was 28th against the run. It was astonishing. What do you make of this New England team that seemingly catches breaks every week?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, boy, if only those sports teams in that region could ever catch a break.
If
that's fate, if that's destiny, if that's witchcraft, I don't know what it is. Here everybody is hoping that, you know, they will think they caught a break and Jarrett Stidham will make them pay. I think that's more hope than it is based in reality. But yeah, sometimes, right? And sometimes you get hot, right? Sometimes everything goes your way and the dice are hitting your numbers. And it seems to be that way week in and week out for the Patriots. I mean, Paul, I heard you saying, well, what happens if the Seahawks win and Darnold gets hurt and they play Drew Lock in the Super Bowl? Yeah, I mean, it's not out of the question. I think you have to consider all things with the way that things have gone for them.
Yeah, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Chad Andrus, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Covers the Denver Broncos for 104.3 The Fan. Let me ask you this about the Broncos defense. You go back final day of November. They almost got beat by Marcus Mariota in overtime. They won that game 27-26. The Green Bay game, Love and company were going up and down the field, and the Parsons injury happens. Denver came back to win the game. They got spanked at home to Jacksonville. That game was not close, and they gave up 30 to Buffalo. I get it, the five turnovers, but Buffalo never punted in the game. How concerned are you overall about that unit?
Zach Allen, he's elite. Nick Bedito gets to the quarterback faster than anyone in the league, and he Josh Allen twice. Like, they have great players, but they have an elite pass rush, but people too often mistake that for a great defense. And the defense is not good. I mean, that narrative has been proven false. And I think the big thing here is Patriots were 13th in pass block win rate. The Broncos were third in pass rush win rank. So if the Broncos can adjust and figure out a different way to stop the run, because that should be the Patriots game plan. They should start and just run it down their throat until Denver stops them. Mm-hmm. If Denver can figure that out, then they can put themselves in the game and let their defense be in position to make a play. But usually you got to play with a lead for your pass rushers to be effective. I don't know that they're going to play with a lead because New England should be able to line up with Henderson and Stevenson and just run it down their throat.
Ultimately, how do you think this game plays out at the end of the day? Who do you think covers? Who do you think wins?
In terms of what I'm looking at, I'll start there. For props, I'm staying completely away from Denver because you just don't know what you're going to get with Stidham or Sean Payton. I do think there's some opportunities with New England, particularly Henderson, 50-plus yards, I think, is at plus money. So if he pops one, you're basically there. I think Hunter Henry can work the middle of the field and has a real good chance to go over 50 yards. But, guys, Patriots are 0-4 in Denver in the playoffs, including Tom Brady throwing two enormous picks in an AFC championship game to Aqib Talib and one to Champ Bailey. That was a 100-yard return in a divisional game. They've never won here. So I do think there is a bit of a bugaboo. In fact, the only time they beat the Broncos in the playoffs was the ultimate mismatch. It was Tebow at Brady. Doesn't get any worse than that.
Yeah.
I have a lean to the Patriots in this one, but again, because of the breaks they've had, because of the schedule they've had, I'm still not inclined to really trust them. So I do think it would be close. And if you can get that 5 or 5.5 with the Broncos, I would lean that way.
Chad, in like 30 seconds here, how long did it take after the Knicks news came out for you to hear somebody bring up maybe they should reach out to Tebow about coming back?
I heard Peyton Manning. I heard Drew Brees.
That's a good one.
I did not hear Tebow. Thank
you.
Yeah,
you didn't. Okay. Right. Thank God. All right.
Yeah.
You can follow Chad on X. He's at Chad Andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S, covers the Broncos for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Well done. Brady, that one still bothers him. He lost to Jake Plummer. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
The pick six, and he's right about it. It's been a house of horrors.
Fun card tonight, college basketball. Miami, Ohio will try to remain undefeated, but they're on the road against the toughest opponent left on their schedule. We'll discuss next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Good to have you on board here on a Tuesday. Derek Stevens joins the program now, his weekly appearance at this time, owner, CEO of this incredible property. Good to see you again, my man. How are you today?
Very good. What a game yesterday. Oh, man.
Awesome.
That was great.
Lived up to the
hype. Second half was great.
It's unbelievable. Fair. Yeah. House did pretty good.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had a threaded needle. The only way we could come out ahead was...
Miami covers, don't win.
Was that Indiana wins, doesn't cover. We had a very narrow window.
Very narrow, and it got there for you. Circa Sports on X tweeted this earlier today. On July 15th, someone could have placed the following bets at Circa. Indiana to win the national title, 200-1.
Yeah.
To make the playoffs, 6-1. To win the Big Ten, 25-1. Mendoza Heisman, 80-1.
Oh, man.
Did you guys have many tickets on any of those?
Oh, you know, the way it graded, not much. No, we had a pretty optimal outcome when that day that the teams that made the college football playoff were announced, and there's a big uproar about Notre Dame not making it. We looked at our grid and we thought, oh man, we're in deep trouble. But we got through, the two teams playing, we were rooting for Miami from the first playoff game onward. And then Indiana didn't hurt us. Our guys kind of got ahead of that one. So we were in a situation where I'd say we got a little lucky here. We could have got beat up pretty bad. We were not in good shape on futures going into the playoffs, that's for sure.
I can't believe this still, because they were preseason top 20, yet those were the futures and the prices that were out there.
200-1.
Incredible. And this guy, is this the best coaching job you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, just it's unbelievable. What a crazy era we're living in, that you got to give it to Cignetti. I mean, he figured it out. Took a bunch of guys. I mean, can this ever happen again in the NIL era? I mean, these numbers are exploding. They're just exploding now.
Well, schools can put together the right team. I don't know if we can have another Cignetti at coach.
Yeah.
The guy's unbelievable. They are so buttoned up, Derek. It's like they don't make mistakes. They made a couple last night, but overall, they just don't screw it up.
Talk about putting a team together and the character he's looking for. Just even the Becker story, keeping him around. Just you're the one guy. I want you to hang around. Uh-huh. The guy has two back shoulder catches. Are you kidding? It was unbelievable.
People mocked them, saying, well, you're bringing James Madison players? How's that? That's not going to work.
Right.
And it did, but it also goes back to, will he want these five-star recruits, or just kind of figure it out with how he puts together a roster moving forward? How important is this in your team, looking at the schedule, that next year the title game is here, and it's January 25th?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, a lot of people from the LVCVA, they left more than a week ago to go down to Miami. They had to go through all of the parties, the processes, everything else like that. And then today they're packing everything up. You know, it's all being trucked out to Vegas. It moves effectively. National championship for next year. It starts this morning.
Really?
Yeah. So they've got a whole crew coming out here. I don't know if I said this with you guys, but I mean, I think the national championship game here, that's as big as it gets for Vegas, especially because it's a Monday. We could use it on a Monday. I mean, obviously getting the Super Bowl is a big thing, but we're going to be sold out for Super Bowl anyway. I kind of like being sold out to Super Bowl with gamblers, not necessarily executives, right?
Yeah.
But this is all going to be unbelievable.
And
it'd be a great, great, great week.
And if it falls later. Yes, yes. So is there such a thing as a bad Super Bowl matchup? Because we might have a quarterback here, a backup quarterback who's only won one game in Stidham. And now I have, with the way things are going with the Patriots, with the luck factor, maybe Seattle wins, but something happens to Darnold. Is there any scenario?
He's trying to manifest that.
Is there any scenario where you could envision, you know what, this is a bad game for props, or is it we have props so we can't have a bad Super Bowl matchup?
I think when you look at all the matchups right here, you got great storylines. Okay. I think it's real good. Obviously, no one likes to see what happened to Bo Nix happen, but Charbonnet on Seattle. But no, you're gonna have you got great matchups here. I think every story when you look at all four combinations, all stories are good. You know, obviously anything with the Rams, you got the second largest market in the country, and you got the Stafford Puka story. I mean, anything with the Rams is good. Seattle's had an incredible season. I think we're good.
Have you had conversations with Nicole that the Super Bowl next year is on Valentine's Day? How are you going to pull this off?
No, I have not talked about that with Nicole. But fortunately, she's all right. She'll like it. She'll like, we'll figure it out. We'll, I would tell you, that's going to change a lot of restaurateurs around here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all these days are like the two spots. I mean, if you don't like football, it might be an easier table to get. But it also tells me you're going to have a lot more people begging for a reservation on February 15th. We better get our reservations in, Paulie.
We better.
It's two tops all over the place. Mitch, you too. I mean, how are we going to do it?
Yeah, 13th or the 15th, right?
13th. Yeah, let's not push our luck. It's the night before Super Bowl. We're going to be on our phone the whole time looking for injuries. Let's go to the 15th and lock it up. Make sure we get our phone down.
Oh, man. The day after is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
That's another one, too, where everyone will have those reservations. How'd the weekend go in the NFL?
Oh, it was real good. It was great. I mean, the handle. I know I told you guys like what happened on Super Wild Card and the divisional. The handle is just so good. It was so good. Boy, the NFL product didn't disappoint. 2 weeks in a row, it hasn't disappointed.
Couple of overtime games.
Oh goodness.
Okay,
you can't get enough of this, right?
No, I love it.
Okay.
When we go to overtime, like, oh my God, we're gonna get to book it again. Please give me a 4-minute commercial right now. Little minute in overtime is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, Kraft did an interview today. He says we're going to 18.
I know. We're already banking it. We're banking on it. I just sent a text in our sports group text. Yeah. I'm banking on that for the 2028 season at the latest. Uh-huh. Now, I do think they're going to have to give up a couple things. Like a preseason game, maybe two preseason games. And then you got to figure out how many bye weeks is there going to be. Is there going to be one or two?
Got to do two. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go to 18
gotta
games.
Be two. Players are just going to want to have two. Huh. Which, when you do the math, 18-game season, two bye weeks, we're still going to celebrate the holidays. That means Circus Survivor is going to be 22-0. Ooh.
What if we go to 20?
What?
20 regular season, no preseason.
You think the players would ever go for that?
If they offer them enough money, they will.
You think?
That's too much.
Buys?
It's too much.
The one thing's for certain. We don't need these preseason games.
Oh, for sure.
We don't need the preseason games.
I'm totally with you. No one wants them. No one plays anyways.
Yeah. I think we're all set. We should have Super Bowl last weekend of February.
I'm with
Monday
you.
Should be President's Day every single time. All right? There you go. National holiday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where did you guys open up the Broncos after the Bo Nix injury and the Patriots won?
I talked to CB about it, and I think it had like about a five point swing in it from where we were, because I think we were going in. Denver was going to be probably going to be a slight favorite,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes out at about a 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5. Yeah, some books got to 6. I was like, it seems a little much there.
Yeah, I think we opened a little bit higher, but then came back down.
Now it's only Tuesday, and so obviously you're going to, as of this point, you've seen about like 5% of the money for the games coming up on Sunday, but have you seen like early respected money?
You know, it's going to come in on Denver. I still think we got to be respectful about Denver's defense. I think we got to be respectful about them being at home. Obviously Stidham's the wild card, but he's well rested and he knows the system. I mean, this is what he's there for. This is why Peyton wanted him.
Oh, they gave him a boatload of money. He's one of the highest paid backups in the entire league. And immediately in the press conference, Sean Payton goes, Stiddy's going to be ready.
Yeah. That's where I think, you know, if something goes, if they get through New England, will it be a bad Super Bowl? No, it won't be, because Stidham will have already proved himself with this one game. So I think the storylines are great.
Okay. Advice for the Super Bowl. And when will your team have the squares ready?
We'll have squares up by, I believe, the Tuesday after Championship Sunday. We'll be ready to go. And then we're going to be rolling out props, you know, chunk every day throughout the week.
Okay. Who do you like in the other game? Seahawks and the Rams.
I'm biased because, you know, we're in deep trouble with Seattle, right? Uh-huh. So I want to do anything possible. So I'm biased. So I got to say I like the Rams. But I'm biased.
Yeah. Seahawks are the absolute worst case scenario out of any team in the league.
They're the worst case scenario to win the NFC and worst case scenario to win the Super Bowl.
Good to see you again, Derek. Have a good week. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
We'll get to In Pocket Plays coming up next. Our best bets for tonight and beyond on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.